The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. But now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. There's a lot to get into today. A lot to get into today, including the refs ruining the end of that game. The end of the Bucks and the Heat. Including James Harden saving his reputation. Going to get that into that in a second. Including Chris Paul. Another heroic series, but another early playoff round exit. Does he get to slide reputation-wise? We're going to get into it. Including Kirk Cousins. Did he put his foot in his mouth? Does he have explaining to do? He later did clarify about how if he gets COVID and dies, he dies. There's a lot to get into today, but we're going to start. By the way, and I buried the lead because it's the most recent thing. Steve Nash is the coach of the Nets now. Stephen A. and I were debating that on the air today, earlier today on First Take. Stephen A. very upset, given the backdrop of what's going on in this country right now, that a white coach or a candidate with no coaching experience jumps right to the head of the class and gets the head coaching job, the most coveted one, according to him. I had some different ideas about it, but we're going to get into it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Look, coming into this series, James Harden, and I'm probably his most vocal or most visible critic, at least, in the national press. But James Harden has an earned reputation as a choker. He performs at MVP level during the regular season. Year in and year out, he's a five-star player. Playoffs come around, he's a four-star player. Just an all-star, not an MVP. Big moments in the playoffs come around, he's a rotation piece. He's a two-star player. Not even a starting quality player in the biggest moments. Now, can you imagine after this, but like every year, Harden was showing me a little more. First, he was working on his defense. Then he had more good games games up to his standard than not up to his standard. The ratio of those kind of games started changing. Every year, a little better, a little better. And this year, in this first round against a very good Thunder team, this is not like an 8-1 matchup. They're evenly matched teams, more or less. A very good Thunder team, especially that starting five or their best five-man rotation. Best five-man team was, like, you know, during the regular season, the best in the NBA. Schroeder and Adams and Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Gallinari. Best five-man unit in the NBA by the numbers. And in this kind of series, James Harden was playing like an MVP game in and game out right up till game seven. Maybe he turned a corner. And then in game seven, a 20-year-old undrafted rookie ate his lunch, gave him that work defensively, shut Harden down. Harden was awful. And then even offensively, not that Harden was D'ing him up the whole time. But that's the man that's giving you work on the defensive end. And then this dude drops 30. A 30 piece while he's shutting you down. And I'm thinking to myself, James, don't do it. Why are you doing this to yourself? Don't do it to me. I'm not trying to come out and say negative things about you. I want James Harden to win a championship before he's done. Because I know we have this, especially this basketball culture. I'm trying to think of how to center myself on this screen here. Now, what happens if I move this way? Am I going? There we go. Look at that. Did it all by myself, Raj. Especially in this basketball culture, you know, with the kind of boil it down to things people can follow instead of really looking to analyze, right? So, Max, you really going to do that? You're going to talk about all the guys who didn't win win a championship versus the guys who didn't? Well, Robert Horry has all those rings. I guess he's better than Charles Barkley, Max, according to you. No, stop. Shut up, everybody. You know what I'm talking about. Robert Ori is a complimentary piece. Charles Barkley is, every team he's ever on has got to be the nucleus of the team. Because if he's not the best player, he's the second best player on any team he's ever played on, except for the Dream Team. Actually, he might have been the best player on that team, as it turned out. But the point is, don't do that. Don't boil it down to just who's won a championship or not. I disagree. I think you can. I think when you're talking about all-time greats, especially when they're on teams that give them chances to win, the greatest of all time win championships. And the rung under them don't. Think about it. Name a single player you would consider among the very greatest of all time never won a championship. Who? Who would that be? Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, John Stockton, Karl Malone, Steve Nash. But are they really, is that the uppermost echelon? No. The closest is Karl Malone, who some people would argue is the greatest power forward of all time. They'd be incorrect. If he was, by the way, and it's tautological, but if he were the greatest power forward of all time, and he's playing with one of the greatest point guards ever, and Hornacek, who's a legitimately great player at his best, and a great coach, why don't you have a single championship? It's because he's not really in that uppermost echelon. So yeah, it's important for James Harden to succeed in the playoffs, and I didn't want to come out here and say today, James Harden, boy, he blew it again. What did I tell you? He's the biggest choker of the era. But if you're getting if a 20-year-old undrafted rookie is giving you 30 and shutting you down in a game 7 of a rivalry game like this, where Chris Paul and Westbrook were traded for each other, and Westbrook had a good game. But it's Harden's, as I said before the game, it's Harden's reputation at stake. And with all of that about to just be a laughingstock, he saves the game by blocking a shot. With a defensive play, he saves the game.
In control, OKC with 7 to shoot. Gildas-Alexander fires to Dort. He shoots a 3, blocked by Harden on the perimeter, and a save on the end line, out of bounds to Houston. How about James Harden struggling all night on the offensive end, coming up with one of the biggest defensive plays here in Game 7.
Who asked that he went to play that audio? Who played that audio? Raj, was that you?
Hang on one second. I thought it was a natural spot to put it. I mean, I'm back here doing things.
You know? I have another point to make here.
Oh,
then
you did?
You could play the, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, make your point. We'll play the audio.
I just want to make sure it's not the simulcast tail wagging the dog here. Are you getting pressured by TV to play clips? Is that what's going on?
No, not
all right,
at all.
Good. I'm making sure. It's a radio show, damn it. Now, listen. It was one thing to block the shot and save the day. It's quite another thing not only to make a defensive stop like that with the Rockets' season on the line and your playoff reputation on the line. I mean, it wouldn't be the final nail in his playoff reputation coffin because he'll get more chances. You know, knock wood, one would hope. You're not promised tomorrow, but one would hope. It would seem likely. More than half the teams in the NBA make the playoffs every year. 16 slots for 30 teams. Harden's an MVP caliber player. He should make the playoffs. But damn it, if you choke again under pressure, if you're not your best self but your worst self once again under pressure, and the season ends, what are you supposed to say about Harden? But he came up not only with the defensive stop, but had the presence of mind when Dort tried to throw it off Harden so it would go out of bounds off Harden, so OKC would retain possession. Harden had the presence of mind, and by the way, the athletic ability at that time, late in the game, to jump. And the ball went between his legs. That is an all-time great defensive play, plus like presence of mind play. And Harden has every right to celebrate like that. The Rocket season could be over right there. And his reputation would take such a major hit when a 30-year-old undrafted rookie eats your, a 20-year-old undrafted rookie eats your lunch in a Game 7. Yet another Game 7 collapse from Harden. He wasn't having it. He willed his team at the end. He snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, and Harden has every right to celebrate like that. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. The great coach David Fizdale joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coach, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. Coach, what do you think about, maybe I reduce it too much, right? Like, hey, great players who haven't won championships, this and that. But, Coach, you can't name me a single top 10 player of all time. I would argue not top 20 who hasn't won a championship. If they're really that great and they're on some good teams, they should win at least one. Sorry, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, John Stockton, Steve Nash. You're not in the GOAT conversation at your positions. Maybe Malone. I would say Duncan was better, but okay.
Right.
James Harden has choked repeatedly in the playoffs. I thought his reputation was on the line last night. He had a terrible game in a game 7, but he saved himself at the end. Now, am I being stupid sports talk guy, or is there something to that?
No, I think that's fair. You know, criticisms are fair when you don't get the job done. You know, it reminds me a lot of, the criticism Kyle Lowry took for a long time, where people say he didn't show up in the playoffs. And then, you know, obviously getting the addition of Kawhi helped him get over that hump. And he really was a big part of them winning. And so I think James Harden is in a very similar situation. But I thought that last night's game was going to be a make or break game for him right now at this point in his career. And I think what was exciting is to see him impact the game from a defensive standpoint and win the game from a defensive standpoint. And show it, because I think what that shows is how much it matters to him now and that this is really important to him now, because I think that's what people would question often is it just about him scoring or is it about him winning? And I think he showed last night it's about him winning.
I always thought he was a team player. I think the reason he scores so much is that's what the team needs. I don't think of him as a selfish ball hog. He's a ball hog, but that's what the offense calls for.
Right.
But I always thought of him as a team player, and I noticed him working on the defense a couple years ago when he couldn't get the offense going in the playoffs. He has a lot to be proud of right now. I want to shift over to Chris Paul for a second. Chris Paul said after a big win, some people are built for this. He pointedly did not mention James Harden or Russell Westbrook. He was traded for Westbrook, and Harden and he obviously weren't getting along or he'd still be in Houston. And he shouts out Dame Lillard. And everyone smells it on Dame. Like, that dude is... You want him under pressure. And coach, everyone... I always had the same feeling about Chris Paul. Like, he's like Larry Brown's platonic ideal of a point guard, right? Like, he's perfect. But, coach, he's been on a lot of good teams. And he's played in a conference finals once where he got hurt with the Rockets. And otherwise gets bumped always by the second round. Is he sliding a little bit? Well, he has that Marcellus Wiley. We used to do Max and Marcellus in L.A. on ESPN radio. He used to say, you know, Chris Paul's wearing that championship cologne. But he doesn't have the resume deep in the playoffs to back that up. What are your thoughts of Chris Paul's futility bringing a team deep into the playoffs?
Well, I think that's too much to ask of him now. I think, you know, what he did with that OKC team was something to marvel at in itself. No one had OKC doing anything this year. And I really think that it's clear that he galvanized that young team to play at a high level and really to push a talented Houston roster with arguably the best player in the league to 7 games. And he was in the mix of why they were there. And so I think right now for Chris Paul, who I put up there, is maybe some people may not rank him top of this or all-time this. What I do think he is all-time competitor. He is one of the all-time great competitors. What I think he needs now is he needs to find a roster that's built to take the next step, that already has the veteran talent, superstar talent that can, you know, that he can just plug into and then get them over the hump. But make no mistakes about it, his performance and his level of impact is still extremely high. And I would love to have a guy like that on my roster because, you know, every night he's going to try to give you a chance to win, whether it's with his mind or with his body.
No doubt he's one of my favorites that way, all time. But, coach, I still – look, if he was a little better, he to win more in the playoffs. Like, I hate to say it, but you're right. And he hasn't been on great teams except for maybe that one Houston team that could have gone all the way, but then he got hurt. But he's been on a lot of good teams that have underperformed expectations in the playoffs, including that Clippers team with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan when they were good, and they had a pretty good supporting cast too. And at a certain point, the feeling you have about him, and I have about him, and anyone who watches Chris Paul has about him, is not being backed up by the playoff performances of his teams. You know, and he's the leader.
Well, I think that's fair, but if you look at the teams that they ran up against most of the times in the playoffs throughout his tenure, he usually ran up against a pretty substantial opponent. It wasn't like they were just getting, you know, upset in the playoffs and, you know, losing the teams they weren't supposed to lose to and things like that. And I think, let's be real about it, he doesn't pull his hamstring in that Houston Golden State series.
They win.
That's very easily. That's Houston's in the finals. And so
they win the whole thing.
He's there. And so I just think he has some bad luck.
Bad luck probably.
And he got beat by better teams.
I know it's a team game, and I know I'm oversimplifying, but I think about, you know, like from a boxing background, I think about Jerry Quarry, this heavyweight contender from the 70s. He was excellent. And people are like, well, he just had the bad luck of being in an era with Ali and Frazier and Foreman. And that's true. But if he were a little better, he'd have gotten a title at some point. The problem was he wasn't quite good enough. Like, as great as Chris Paul is, he's not LeBron James. And truth be told, he's not quite James Harden either. And if that's going to be your max contract player, then you need another max contract player at least as good as him, or you're probably not going to win. I want you to weigh in on the Steve Nash hiring. Stephen A., and you were on First Take earlier today,
with me.
And Stephen A. Stephen A. brings up the racial component here, which is, and it's inescapable. We don't live in a post-racial society. You know, it's not like it's like where people, you know, you watch, which guy, who is it? You know, the tall guy, but they're about the same height. You know, the bald guy, they're both kind of bald. Is it the black dude or the white dude, right? Like, because people are afraid to say it because white people feel like I'm not supposed to see race. Of course, that's white privilege when you don't get to see race because and pretend to live in a post-racial world. It's not the world we live in. And so that is a legitimate issue. Against the backdrop of a sport that's predominantly African-American with very few African-American coaches, and I'm talking to one of them right now who's presently not employed as a head coach but is a very good head coach, in my opinion, Coach Fizdale. Stephen A. had a problem. Not with Steve Nash personally, but at least with the optics and with the fact that Kevin Durant clearly signed off and Kyrie clearly signed off on the hiring of a white coach with no experience coaching. Now, Woj and others have pointed out there have been many African-American coaches who were point guards and no coaching experience who got jobs. Doc Rivers, Isaiah Thomas, Jason Kidd, Derek Fisher. But Stephen A. is talking about this was the plum job, the Nets job, Brooklyn, New York, two superstars, all of that. What is your feeling about both the optics of it and the hire of Steve Nash? As, by the way, a good African-American coach who's presently without a position.
You know, I'm glad you asked me that because I took some time after we were on air to think about it. Because on air, I still was processing it. You know, I wasn't really ready for it to go down the racial conversation per se. I thought we were just going to, you know, when you're in the moment, you deal with it all the time because you guys are on the show a lot.
Yep.
You know, sometimes you get caught and it's like, gosh, are we going there? And, you know, so I took some time to think about it this afternoon. And, you know, first off, I think qualifications for coach has changed so dramatically when it comes to hiring. A lot of times experience is not necessarily always weighed in games coach. So, you know, when it comes to that, that's why I said on the show, I think Steve Nash, if it's going to be a guy that hasn't coached a game, who else better than Steve Nash than, you know, to coach your team? You know, here's a guy that is two-time MVP. Guys loved playing with him. He made people better around him. He developed himself into a great player, which are things that he could pass on. He was, you know, he and Kyrie's skill set so similar from the handle to the left and right hand passes,
shooting,
finishes, shooting. IQ, the whole deal, you know. But they
over dribbling, coach. Why don't you say it?
Go ahead, over dribbling.
Over dribbling, yeah.
But the thing that's different is guys really enjoy playing with Steve, and I think Kyrie's got a stigma that guys don't like to play with him. So I think that's where Steve can really help him. Now, obviously, Steve has the relationship with KD from Golden State and all of the time there together. And so I just think the qualifications is there. But to get into the argument about the, you know, race and everything, is where I see it is, you know, we still have to clean our own house in the NBA. I think, you know, as we talk about social justice and police reform and things like that, something that we're learning from Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative is, you know, take a look at your own house first before you start trying to point fingers outside of it. And so I think to a man, we can all acknowledge that we still have a long ways to go when it comes to black coaches getting opportunities and getting hired, black front office people getting hired and getting those opportunities, and then ownership, you know, the governors. I mean, we got Michael Jordan, and really that's it. And so I think we all know and understand, and no one understands that more than Adam Silver, you know, when it comes to the job that we have to do intentionally to impact the injustices that have taken place in our own league. So I think we all understand that. You know, I think what frustrates people sometimes, and where Stephen A., I think, you know, feels a certain way, and I understand it, is you know, when it's so many really qualified black coaches out there. You know, when you talk about T. Lou, who's a champion, you know, Jason Kidd, you know, another Hall of Fame guard with coaching experience already under his belt. You know, young assistants, really talented assistants like Jamal Mosley and people like that. It's, you know, then you see Steve Nash just hired. I think sometimes people in the black community are like, wow, like, you know, that was abrupt, and did they even take the time to really talk to these other guys and really do their homework to find out who was best for the job? And I think the other side of this is, you know, with Stephen A., I get it, is you know, is it young African-American players' responsibility to make sure that African-American coaches are getting opportunities? I don't know that. I don't know if that's Kevin Durant and Kyrie's responsibility to really impact something that needs help. You know, I think about those things, but I'm not sure. I can't speak for them. But it definitely helps if the best players on teams are saying, man, I want that guy to coach me. I want to play for that guy. You know, I want to go to war with that guy. And so, you know, it's such a tough conversation. We obviously are here because there has been too many moments and instances of you know, injustice or lack of opportunity or even white privilege that we've seen over and over again. And so it's unfortunate that we're here, but we got to face it and we got to deal with it.
The great Coach Fizdale, ladies and gentlemen. Coach, really appreciate you joining me today. Look forward to hearing from you again very soon. And Coach Fizdale was brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You know what I noticed about Steve Nash, actually? There's a game I used to play on New York radio on the Max Kellerman Show 10, 12 years ago called the Larry Bird Game. And the idea was, who could you reasonably argue is the best who ever did it at the, you know, in their chosen profession, and is not the most physically attractive person who ever lived? Let's just put it that way. The Larry Bird Game. Randy Johnson's in that category. Steve Nash, if he's up there with the point guards, what's going on? And then the way he grows his hair long in the back, that's a weird-looking dude. Great player, though. And by the way, it does have things in common with Kyrie Irving. Like, when I think about, I mentioned this on First Take earlier today, Kyrie, the handles, the shot, all that stuff, but over dribbles. Like, you know, the ball sticks with him. Steph and KD worked in part because they're both MVP caliber players and because the ball doesn't stick with Steph. He's a hybrid 1-2 guard who plays the one because he's short and because he has those handles. But the ball does not stick with Steph. Steve Nash, I can't even repeat what Kobe Bryant said about Steve Nash to me in the locker room. Marcellus and I were in the locker room, Marcellus Wiley and I, talking to Kobe, like for one of the early preseason games, I want to say. And Kobe Bryant was like, everything's going to work out fine as long as Steve Nash, and I can't repeat what he said, but it referred to doesn't over dribble. Nash never picked up that dribble. Yeah, what's up? What's up, Raj?
Max, why are you lying to the people? For you to be in the locker room, I mean, you would need a media pass. You ain't never had a media pass and nothing. You're not out there. Would you have a notepad and a pen and you had a little hat on, like a little reporter?
Let me explain something to you.
Lying.
Let me explain something to you. As Ghost once said, my face is like my passport. My life's my proof. I don't need a pass. I walk right in. Security stumbles out of the way. Everyone approaches Big Dog. I don't have to approach anybody. No, yeah, I used to be in the Lakers locker room all the time. What are you talking about? Marcellus will tell you the same story, Raj. I don't know if I've ever told it to you, but I'll have to use the language that Kobe used off air. So these refs in that game last night, in that Heat-Bucks game, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Kawhi and the Clippers battle the Nuggets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Those refs. You happy now, Roger? Did the read? Let me get this straight. The game is headed to overtime. Was a hand placed on Jimmy Butler on his way down from shooting the shot? Yes. Do you need to give the shooter space? And I said, yes. It had zero effect on the shot. If you're watching the simulcast, look at this. How did that affect the shot at all? If you affect someone's follow through way after the fact, I'm not trying to hear that stuff. At the end of regulation of a pivotal playoff game, they called these tick. And by the way, that decided the game. The refs inserted themselves into that game and didn't stop. And it kind of ruined the game. Here's Jimmy Butler with Malika Andrews afterward.
I knew I was going to make one out of two, and that's all that we needed. But it's like I always say, we got so many guys that can hoop, that can play, that can impact winning. And I think all the way down the line, our guys did that.
Yes, including the refs. Like, think about this. A 1-1 series, it's any one series. I still think the Bucks aren't out of this. But damn, down 0-2 to a team that's had your number all season? That's a tough way to lose that game. Hear what Richard Jefferson said about Giannis? And then the clapback? I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and I'll explain to you what you should actually think about all this. So Steve Nash gets the Nets job. No, Raj, you just put a tease in front of me that you want to do the ZipRecruiter job machine search coming up? So why are you putting that in front of me? Raj will get it together by the time we get back from commercial break. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, before I get to anything, I've still got to get to Kirk Cousins. I got to get to Scottie Pippen going at Richard Jefferson after what Richard Jefferson said about Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I'll tell everyone what to think about everything. Don't worry about it. Just stay tuned in case you're wondering what your opinion is. I'll tell you in a second. But first, Raj, there's some job vacancies filled now. So what's first for the ZipRecruiter job search machine? What do you want to know here?
Well, the Brooklyn Nets, obviously, as you may have heard, they had a vacancy, and they hired Steve Nash.
Okay, hold on. Let me type this in here. Let me type it in, see what their ZipRecruiter job search machine says. It says, good hire. Raj, it says good hire. Yes.
Wow. All right,
Steve Nash, known as an innovative basketball thinker, KD has said He didn't say he's one of the best basketball minds I've been around. KD said he was the best basketball mind he'd been around. Don't forget, he was a consultant, Steve Nash was, with the Warriors. He was with the Warriors like before KD even got there. But he was like a player development guy. But it seems to me he was really more of a coach than a consultant. And KD and Steve Nash, according to reports, really bonded. And listen, the Nets are KD's team. He's not getting hired if KD doesn't want him. So I think that's going to work out very well. Now, let me just say this about the Nets. Everyone's assuming that this is a high-powered, deep playoff team. And sure, if KD is healthy, they should be, but I just want to say something. It is ridiculous to assume that KD will be more than, say, 80% of what he was. He might be, but I don't think you can't assume that. All the medical evidence throughout the history of the NBA says the kind of injury that KD is coming back from, you will never be the same. The vast majority of cases, the overwhelming likelihood is he's never going to be as good as he once was physically. Now, KD is a marvelous all-around player. Like, he's almost 7 feet tall. He has handles. He's a pure shooter. He has a high basketball IQ. He developed into an excellent passer, I think. An excellent defensive player. Versatile and also doesn't really need the ball, actually. Like, KD can get his points in the flow of the game like nothing without designing it, like drawing anything up for him, and he can wind up with 38 points, like, quietly, because he's that easy a scorer. But an 80% of him is a great player. It's an all-star. It ain't an MVP. So now let's adjust the way you think about him. And Paul George is, like, really good defensively, but think of KD now. Instead of, like, KD, think of him as Paul George. Like, not quite KD. And Kyrie has been a chemistry destroyer on every team he's been on, except for the Cavs, where eventually that went sour, too. But he's a clutch performer in the finals, and he's a champion. He's a great player. But he's made teams worse, not better, by and large, in his career, except for when he was with LeBron James. So you have two MVP talents, but one coming off an injury is unlikely to be his old self, and the other is an MVP talent where it hasn't quite translated to MVP performance. Just keep that in mind. All right, what else we got for the ZipRecruiter job search machine, Raj?
All right, next, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hold on.
They signed Leonard Fournette to a 1-year, $2 million contract. Let's put that
in. Okay. Hold on. Let me see. There it is. Yeah. It's not working unless you hear those beeps and squeaks. Now it's working. Okay, let's see. Not a bad move. Very, very low downside, right? Not much downside, not much money. Even with incentives, it's apparently $3.5 million. And while a lot of people get caught up in what a player can't do, because Fournette's not a pass catcher and all that, what about what he can do? Like, if he can help your ground game on a team that where they're going to have to respect the pass, because Tom Brady's throwing the ball behind an offensive line, which, by the way, just retooled in the draft or has reinforcements in the draft, high-impact guy. And even if, like, it takes offensive linemen a minute to really come into their own, it should help, at least with depth. Then you have receivers and tight ends everywhere you look. It's a pretty good match. All right. One more quick one, Raj. Let's get one more ZipRecruiter.
All right. Barcelona will have a vacancy at the center forward after Messi either sits out or he gets moved and reunites with Neymar at PSG.
Neymar's coming back, huh? It's amazing. He could hit, but he wasn't much of a defensive shortstop. Let me see. The machine says no one cares, Raj. Least of all me. So there it is. No one cares.
In the world.
What's that?
Come on, man. They're one of the biggest football clubs in the world. You at least know who
Messi football? Is, right? Oh, that's great. Oh, who led the team in touchdowns?
No, not that. Come
what
on,
man. I don't understand.
All right. Who you got? You got Messi or you got Cristiano Ronaldo? Who you got the best? Listen, who's the GOAT?
Listen, this is what I'm saying, Raj.
What?
We have football and basketball now. There's no more need for soccer. It's like when movies came out, and I like the theater and everything, but it's fair for someone to say, why are we still watching this? We have movies now. It's like they should replace what came before it. Football and basketball now. Don't worry your head over soccer. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.